time.
Lord, lift me up and let me stand. I'm faith on hand. Let's table the land. A higher plane than I have found. Your plan I see on higher ground.
Amen.
My heavenly home is bright. My heavenly home.
testify. I'm not going to testify, but I want to. I want to thank God for all he's done for me.
Amen.
And, you know, I was just thinking through that song, that even this morning, I was, I said, man, I've got some kind of life. You know, I'm just thanking God for everything that he's done for me. He's Doug was sick, and I'm glad he, I'm so thankful that he's better. And, you know, I didn't get it. And just through the good times and the bad, I know where I get my food. You know, I know who helps me and heals me. And my mom's going through a rough time right now. Her brother's getting ready to travel on, you know, and that's okay because I know where he's going.
Yeah.
So if God doesn't want him here, he's got a better place for him.
That's right.
I feel like traveling on. You know, and I was just sitting there thinking, I'm like, he doesn't have to die. We can get the rapture before that happens. So whatever God wants, but I'm just so blessed to be back.
Amen. Sing page 87 in the Only Believe, when the roll is called up yonder. 87. It says A flat.
Trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. And the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore. And the roll is called up yonder out there. Oh, when the roll is called up yonder
You know, I just want to say, because, you know, Pastor was talking about how important it is, you know, to claim your, put your stake in. And, you know, I'm just glad that I can say that when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Amen.
And one thing I was also thinking about is, you know, I always talk about how this message gives me such a rest. And, you know, being a mom now, you know, there's a lot of new worries that come with being a new mom, you know. And I'm bad about watching Instagram videos where they're like, you got to watch for this, you got to know this. And, you know, I talked with my sisters, I talked with my husband, and I'm just glad that I can put the word on it.
Amen.
You know, little things like when Henry first came home, because first of all, I had a wonderful experience with my C-section. I healed so quickly, and it was, you know, really just God. When Henry first got home, he was having what they call the witching hour, where he would cry from like 9 p.m. to like 2 or 3 a.m. and then, you know, still get up and eat in between. So I was getting like no sleep. And, you know, I'd come into church, I would be so tired, and I was like, Lord, I can't do this. I have to be able to pay attention. I have to, and, you know, we prayed for him, and he's been great ever since. You know, he has this fussiness, but nothing that's, like, abnormal. And I'm just so grateful, you know, that I can put the word on everything that, you know, when I have, you know, you talk about, like, the postpartum, like, blues. You know, for me, it was some anxiety. Like, I was having a hard time sleeping because I was just so worried. Like, is he okay? Is he breathing? You know, if he goes too long without eating, is he still alive? Is he still there? And you know what? It occurred to me that I was like, you know, I don't have to let, I remember a long time ago he said, you know, you don't have to let Satan land. Like, you know, talking about like.
No.
And I was, just thinking, I was like, you know, I rebuke all of this anxiety and all of this worry.
Amen.
And I'm just so grateful that I have that power.
Amen.
And, you know, that I have everyone. I have my sisters and my mom and my husband who are just there for support. And I'm just thankful for this little blessing. I just wanted to say that. I wanted to come before you guys because, you know, everyone's been talking about, you know, Henry being a blessing, but I want to say because he's my son. He's my blessing. It's my, you know, I want to claim my blessing. So that's what I'm saying.
Amen. Amen.
Just want to say I'm glad to be here.
Yes.
There was a time when I would have let little things get in the way. And now I see I'm so much stronger.
Amen.
Just
Amen.
Keep coming.
Yes. Yes. There it is.
You get fed here. Questions answered.
Amen.
The love that's shown.
Amen.
Wouldn't miss it for you.
I was sitting there thinking about how that, you know, his truth keeps marching on, you know, for, you know, when you, like I said there at Bible study, you know, Satan, not a threat, never was a threat, you know, God just uses him.
Right.
Fill in the part where he's not at, you know, the darkness fills in where the light's not.
Amen.
The light comes in, darkness goes.
Amen.
All there is to it, you know, and I was thinking about the tribulation, how that, you know, when he pulls back. You know, it's a wonder to take him 3.5 years to destroy everything.
Right.
But I thought, well, maybe that's just because the foolish virgin is still here trying to hold on there for longer a little bit. But, you know, I'm thankful that he's got. I'm thankful that I'm part of the biggest thing that ever was.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of things you can do in life, a lot of things you can be part of, and, you know, pretty big thing. But I'm so thankful to be part of his plan.
Amen.
You know, and he's you know, it's been said that, you know, he said it's finished. That's the last thing he did. All the seed was there. He said all the seed was in the ground. Everything set in motion. He knew the end from the beginning, and everything would unfold just like he saw it. And I'm thankful to be part of it. Thankful to be in this age and this day when I understand.
Amen.
And when I can clearly see, you know, I have a clear understanding.
Right.
Now, I don't understand everything, but I have a clear understanding. What I can see very, very clearly. So I'm thankful, you know, and he reveals to us what we need. He's revealed in every age what we needed. And I'm thankful that this this golden age where he's revealed so much. And I know what to look at. I know what to stay away from. I know what Satan looks like. You know, the Bible says, know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Of course, if you know the spirit of the truth, you automatically know the spirit of error. It's anything other than truth, like they say. Anything pulls you away from the word is Satan.
Amen.
You know, and I'm just thankful that it's so clear, it's so real, that
The best is yet to come. Amen. And yet I'm living in the best, a perfect understanding, perfect revelation. Amen. And, you know, I just feel so blessed to know what I know, to see what I see. Amen. And, you know, even, I guess the last big worry was years ago when we found out we could take our loved ones.
Right.
Yeah, because that was the biggest worry. And now we got that off of us. Ask what you will. Bind, loose, you know, he'll honor that. You know, it's something. It's something to understand, have such a perfect understanding and be living in such light and be able to walk by faith, knowing that every place I put my foot, it's where God puts his foot. You know, and I don't worry about things. I don't fret about things. I don't think I'd ever have a trouble with depression. To me, I think to the bride that should be a foreign word. You know, we understand so much and see so much in this day. Yeah, and it's such an understanding. You know what? Fear is lack of understanding. You know, so that perfect love, that understanding should cast out all fear. And I'm thankful to see it, and I'm thankful to know. I'm thankful I have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
You know, and that's saying a lot, but that's what we have.
That's right.
That's what he said he would give, that's what he would bring. Amen.
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 Yeah, I just want to stake my claim again, too. It's been a little bit since I've been up here. This is a birthday week for me, so I thank God for giving me another year under my belt. And the songs we've been singing just bring back memories of a childhood, you know.
Yeah.
When the roll is called up yonder, I was saying, you know, I've been singing this thing for 60 years now. But it has so much more meaning now, you know, and it means so much more to me. And I just love singing the old hymns. And I love this message, knowing what the meaning is now, you know, what the deep down meaning is. It's not
right,
just
right.
Singing words anymore. And I plan on, you know, going on to the very end and enjoying this every day that I have. And I just thank God for this church and this word and for you guys, my brothers and sisters.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
I just want to get up here real quick and give God praise in advance.
Amen.
You
yep.
know, because it's okay to praise him after something happens, but when you can praise him before it happens, that is full confidence
yes.
in the Lord. That
yes.
is faith.
Yes.
And I'm just so thankful. And it's not that things are not going on in my life, but I could literally do cartwheels up and down this out just for the rest that God gives us, that he has it. And
yeah.
he's already done it.
Right.
So just resting in him. And then another thing that has come to me, because we have trials, but they draw you closer to him. Every trial I
yeah.
ever walked through
yes.
made me closer to him.
Amen.
I did not get closer to him when the days were sweet. I got closer to him when I was in,
right.
when you were going through something, when you couldn't hold your head up, when you depended on your brothers and
that's
sisters
right.
to hold your hand up. That is when you get your strongest.
That's
and
right.
that's when God shines the greatest and he gets the victory. And he gets the glory. So I just want to thank God so much
Amen.
For praising him in advance.
Amen. Amen.
Same page 28, Fill My Way With Love. It's in the Only Believe 28.
Amen. Amen.
Walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love.
Last verse.
Soon this race will be over and I'll travel no more, but abide in my home above. Let me sing, blessed King.
God, thank you for your many blessings, your love, mercy, and grace. Thank you for another day to have a right mind, to have life, to have your watchful hand over us. Another opportunity to come to church tonight, Lord. Thank you for this gathering place. And Lord, as we approach the word, have your way. Lord, move me out of the way and just use my hands, my fingers, my mouth, Lord, and preach to us. Quicken it to us. Give us what we need to help us along our way. Lord, be with your bride around the world. I know there's some out not feeling well. Be with Brother John and Sister Dawn and her sisters. Touch them, Lord. Lord, continue to touch Brother James and bring forth good results there. You said by your stripes we're healed, and we thank you for that. Touch Brother Trevor and family. Lord, we're standing on your word. We're only counting on you to fulfill what you promised you would. And have your way. Have your way with the rest of the service. Thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to see everybody this evening. And be back in the house of the Lord. I put a few more announcements up there, but this Sunday I'm going down to Little Bethlehem, and I believe Brother Warren and his wife's going with us, so that'll be a good time. Pray for that, please. And beginning of July, we're going to go to the Wilds. Don't forget to get John and Don your money for that, $23 a person. And then we finally put up a church picnic on there on a Sunday for August 7th. And then the one that you don't want to miss for sure is church pictures on September 10th. So keep those things in mind and be present and accounted for. But it's good to be back and see everybody, and gone myself a little bit, so it's always good to be home. No place like home. Amen. I don't care how nice it is, there's no place like home on this side, and that's how we'll feel about heaven one day, because that's where we really are from. That's our real home. Amen. And so looking forward to that day when we get back home. Because I came from God, I'm going back to Him. And He said, I'll go on and prepare a place for you. Now, where I am, you may be also. So that's my real place, my real home. That's where I really belong. That's where I'll get along with everybody quite well. The devil won't have any access. There's coming a time when he won't even be around. You know, there'll be a little period of time where he'll still be around, but he just won't have access. He'll be chained by a chain of circumstances. We'll be perfect in all three realms. But, you know, there's coming a time when death, hell, and Satan, and all his followers, and unbelievers, and sin, will put it all in the lake of fire. And he will not be thought of anymore by God. You know, God made the devil. We know that. And he, in one sense, you know, God's I love understanding foreknowledge, because, you know, sometimes as a human, you can sit here and think God's just orchestrating everything and making everything happen and moving over dominoes, and we're just a bunch of puppets. But that's not really how this thing works. We're a free moral agent making decisions and choices every day. Now, we understand how powerful God is. We understand a human decision is not going to stop anything he ever saw happen that he wants to happen or any of that. But God ain't sitting here just, well, today I'm going to make Brother Moore decide this, and today I'm going to make Brother Jeremiah decide this. No, we serve God because we want to serve God. Amen. And you know, God did not make the devil reject him. The devil did it on his own. God created the devil, but the devil's the one that chose to get exalted and want to be worshipped like God. God, do you realize God does not really make anybody go to hell? Everybody chooses to go to hell on their own. Now, you say, well, if they just knew what they were doing, well, they've had a chance to hear about it. I ain't trying to be mean, but they've rejected it. I heard about heaven, and it sounded pretty good to me, Brother Isaiah. I heard this word, and I don't mean this in an arrogant way or condescending way, but there's something about this word that connected with me. I wanted it. It tasted good. I loved it. And I want to serve God because I love God. And that's the difference between the devil and me. That's the difference between God's life and Satan's life. Satan's life's just temporal life. You realize the devil's not going to be around forever. He's just a temporal thought in the mind of God. That's why no matter how hard it gets sometimes, no matter how down he wants to try to get you, no matter how much he tries to talk to you, you realize you're going to outlast every one of those issues. We've said it so many times. This too will pass. I'm going to outlast it. It doesn't matter if something lasts 20 years. Say it's a habit. And it's been with me my whole life. You know, if it stays with me my whole life until I get my change in my body, do you realize it was still temporal? And 80 years, 90 years, 70 years, whatever it was, it's just a drop in the bucket to God. That's like God blinking his eyes almost. He's not worried about that space of time. I got something to me that come from God, going back to God, that will outlast anything the devil can bring, anything he's thought of. God's always been ahead of the devil. He knew what the devil was going to do before the devil did it. He's always been ahead of him. He's known how to guard. He's known how to protect. He's known how to supply all our needs. He knew what we would need. See, now, I like saying this because this gives me excited too. God doesn't make you do anything, but he sure will help you. Oh, I thank God for help in a time of need. I thank God for supplying all my needs so that I can withstand the wiles of the devil. Oh, he's given me everything I need, Brother Deskins. He has preached the word to me and quickened that word to me such that I could put on the whole armor of God and withstand the devil. Because I recognize I'm not fighting flesh and blood. That's a much easier fight, to be honest with you. People think that's a hard fight. That's really a much easier fight. I can stop that in a minute. Knock somebody out. I don't have to deal with them. But the devil, that spiritual realm, that's a little different thing. That's powers, principalities, 200 million plus demons. There's more than 200 million. There's just 200 million loosed at the end time. There's already some demons here before them. So there's demons out here. But I got something that's greater on the inside of me than anything that's in the world. Oh, this is just a temporal place I'm passing through. Oh, I'm doing an eternal work. Working for God. Living an eternal life in this time situation. But there's going to come a time when time won't be no more. And depending on how you want to talk about it, I can say time ain't no more in my soul realm right now. How many eternals I'm ever going to be. You want to talk about the church ages? Church age time is over. I'm in the eighth day. I'm in eternity. I'm not even in church age time more. But if you want to talk about creation time and the time of the world, I'm living right in it. I'm right in the middle of Laodicea. I'm like John on the Isle of Patmos. Got snakes all around me. Got devils all around me. But I'm enjoying the direct revelation of Jesus Christ from God himself. We used to use that as an example. John had scorpions around him, snakes around him. I believe if you researched the Isle of Patmos, it was pretty bad. An awful island. Sounds like God to me. He'll take something you don't expect him to take. He'll take the uneducated. The poor people don't have all the ability. The island that doesn't mean anything to anybody. He'll take somebody with a ninth grade education. And he'll come down and deal with them personally. Oh, there might be snakes around me. There might be pressures around me. There might be demons around me. There might be anxiety around me. There might be work around me. There might be all kinds of concerns around me. But I got a direct line of revelation coming from God, showing me what he's done, showing me what he's doing, showing me where I'm going. I ain't got nothing to worry about. He's taking care of my past, my present, and my future. See, sometimes you just need to come in here and whip up on the devil a little bit. I want to knock him around so I can then preach. I'm human just like you. Get the devil off a little bit. Put him in his place. Like Brother Moore says, tell him go sit down over there a little bit. I got something a little bit stronger than he's got. I'm more powerful than he is. I have the ability to tell the devil to get behind me just like Jesus did. That's what Jesus told him. Get behind me. It's not even lawful for you to tempt God. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know who you're dealing with? You're dealing with the Son of God, a descendant of God. God's own life is inside of here. The one that created you is right here. The one that can destroy you is right here. The one that can send you on your ways right here. I cast you out when you were in the swine. I've cast you out when you were in people. And I can cast you out tonight. That's how I feel about it. Who you think's in your presence? If Jesus can cast them out, who you think's here? Oh, we got the person that can cast out demons here tonight. You got a problem, we can send it on its way. I got something that says, devil, you got to flee. It's not even lawful for you to be on my land. This land belongs to me. You got to get off of it. You don't have no squatter rights here. That's what we got. We got the word. And it's sharp. Oh, I like that. Sharp, it can cut. It can get through stuff. I don't care how thick it is. I don't care how heavy the load is. I don't care how bad you think it is. I don't care if you think you're the worst person in here tonight. Ooh. Oh, Jeremiah, you don't know my life. I got something sharp. Oh, you don't know where I've been. I got something sharp. You don't know what my mistakes are. Don't worry about it. I got something sharp. I got the word of God that's going to cut through the alcohol problem, cut through the lying problem, cut through the stealing problem, cut through the mental problem. It's going to get down to that soul, what it really wants anyhow, and talk to you and remind you who you are. That you're a child of God. I'm here to tell you tonight, you can't, if you're a child of God, you can't live good enough to make it or bad enough to miss it. That's how I feel. And I believe in living good. But I'm talking to the devil for a minute. He's got to get behind me. You say, but I've seen what you do. Do you realize the law is not even for a righteous man? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Blessed is he whom God will not impute sin to. I can go on. David said, if I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I make my bed in heaven, you're still there. Where can I go and flee from your presence? I can't. That's how I feel like we're talking like Jesus talked now. Jesus knew when he needed to tell somebody to live good. And Jesus knew when he needed to rebuke the devil and get all condemnation. Hey, there's another one. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. There's no good thing in the flesh anyhow. You can't, all you got to offer is filthy rags. Clean up everything you think's wrong with you, and it's still filthy rags. You need to be born again. And if you've been born again, Go ahead and let the devil know that no matter what he saw you do yesterday, no matter what habits you had, no matter what dark places you've been to, no matter how low it seems you've gotten, that God is inside of you and that he don't even see it because it's in his sea of forgetfulness, never to be held against you. Oh, that makes me feel pretty good. I hope that makes you feel good. And it's more than even a feeling. It's a reality. This ain't me just trying to pump you up. I believe what I'm telling you. I stake my life on what I'm telling you. I believe what I'm preaching to you. So much so that I put myself in what I'm telling you. I'm the one that's been bad. I'm the one that's been low. I'm the one that needs grace. I'm the one that's had habits. I'm the one that said, Lord, it's me, oh Lord, stand in need of prayer. But guess what? I'm the one that's perfect, spotless, sinless, child of God, come from God, going back to God. I don't care how bad it seemed, I've been in God's will. Let's talk about David for a minute. David wasn't too good. I don't like David. I don't like talking about David. I feel bad talking about David sometimes. David was a man after God's own heart. He loved the Lord despite having somebody killed. Despite sleeping with another man's wife. Despite having a son in adultery. David was a man after God's own heart. He loved God. And God loved him. And you know what God really truly cared about was the fact that David loved God. David, despite those things I just told you, said, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So, don't let the devil get you down tonight. You've been born again. God's own life. That's why I like to call it a change of the soul. It ain't a cleaning of the soul. Brother Bram said you can't patch it up. You can't clean it up. It's got to die. And a substitute. A new life. God's own life. The life of Jesus Christ has got to be born on the inside of you. And that life is perfect. Sinless. Spotless. No matter what the outside looks like. That's just a housing place. Do I believe that God can work out and do a lot of good things in your life? Sure, he can. But don't fool yourself. As long as you got these other two rims, devil's going to talk to you. You're going to have habits. You were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. You deal with the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye. It encounters every human being. Brother Bram said you'll be carnal, sticky all the days of your life. The thing that's important is that you love God all the days of your life. The rest will take care of itself. So, thank you, Lord. Now, I got time short, but Revelations. I'm going to start back in the first chapter, but I'm going to try to get off out of it too and go to other chapters. But Brother Moore struggled to do this. If I struggle, you'll understand. Because I know what verse 1 says, and it's hard to get off verse 1 for me. Revelation, the first chapter, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. You know I love that scripture.
Oh yeah.
You know, 90% of the scriptures you're going to read in the book of Revelations have symbology in them. Horse riders, voice of many waters, candlesticks, stars, trumpets, beast, on and on and on. Red dragon, this and that, the whore, on and on and on. I'm not going to think of them all. But this is one verse in this book that's clear and straightforward that doesn't have symbols on it. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Given to him by God. Who sent it to signify to his angel, by his angel to John. Brother Bram said it, Brother Moore said it, God said it, whoever said it. This book is the one book that Jesus himself was the author of. John was the scribe, but Jesus was the author. You know, really, in one sense, this whole Bible is authored by God. But many writers in it that were inspired, the Bible says, of God, men of old inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these words. But, you know, of all of our human carnality, you think we would read and see a book by Paul, book by John, book by James, all good books. Finally, a book shows up and says it's by Jesus Christ. The one that we all claim to serve. The one we all claim to pay the price for our sins. Yet it's the most misunderstood book, pushed to the side, not thought of, book in the entire Bible. I know some people try to probe in it and some people try to put some care on it. But generally speaking, people don't play with this book because it confuses them and they don't know what to do with it.
That's right.
Yet the very first book, chapter or verse in the chapter says it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. My carnal self without a revelation, that sounds pretty important to me. That's coming from Jesus. I think it was John that said it, Sonny, this is red letter. Jesus authored this book. I want to know what's in the book. And I think it makes sense why verse 3 says what it says. Because John first said, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And blessed are they that can read, hear, which is understand, and keep. So let's read that. Verse 2, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things he saw. Blessed is he that readeth. And they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. My title tonight is The Time Is at Hand. But the thing about it, John, for first verse said this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It would only make sense, Brother Destin, he would say, blessed are the people that can read this and hear it. In other words, understand it and keep the words of this prophecy. Because at this time, this was a prophecy of the future works of the church.
Amen.
And beyond that time, as things are to be. And John knew this was from Jesus Christ, and this is what you need to get. And blessed are they. Because John also knew that over in the 10th chapter, it got sealed up. It said, don't write those things that thunder's uttered. Sealed up.
Amen.
So John's saying, but there's going to come a time when this book will be understood.
Amen.
Oh, that gets me excited.
Yes.
People push this book to the side, and this book means so much to me. The entire Bible means everything to me.
Right.
But this book is our book, Brad. This book is written to us.
Amen.
This book talks about us very clearly when you understand it and keep it and hear it and read it and got it right. This book, by being revealed, is the one that will open the entire Bible to you. It's at the end of the Bible. I think Brother Bram said that the word revelation means apocalypse, which means the unveiling, the revealing. That makes sense. Because when this book was finally opened and the symbols removed, the seals open, and the thunder's talking to you and telling you what this stuff is, it's when you could actually read the entire Bible and understand it from Genesis to Revelation.
That's right.
Now you might say, and I don't want to jump too far ahead, well, Jeremiah, we've had the Old Testament and the New Testament for 2,000 years, or ever since Luther put it in print. We've understood that. Yeah, but there's more to the story than just that written word. There's more to the story than just that letter that you're reading word by word. There's things hidden in there, in between the lines, all in the book, but just not clearly out there for you to be able to figure out without God's help. God had to come down and reveal them to you.
That's right.
And without that, it would have been locked up. And nobody would have understood the entire Bible. And I thank God, because I was thinking some this week, thought about this plenty of times. Why did Brother Bram said it open the entire book from Genesis to Revelation? There's a lot of things you can say about that. One, he made sure you understood this Bible is the entire theme of this Bible is Jesus Christ. He said, if you don't read any verse and don't see Jesus Christ in there, read it again.
Right.
So if that's the revelation of Jesus Christ, this, I was going to open up this entire Bible to you. But I was just thinking about things. You know, Genesis, yeah, it's a good story in the Garden of Eden. And yeah, it's a good story about Abraham. But think about how many things that by the revelation we have, God's went into those books and pulled out for you and me. He showed us that Abraham and Sarah's bodies were changed. Yeah, you can find in the New Testament where it says you'll be changed in a moment and twinkling an eye. But you go all the way to Genesis and see in the seed chapters happened before. When Rebecca lighted off the camel to go meet Isaac in the middle of the field. Oh, that meant something. More than just a story. It was a good story to Rebecca and Isaac. They really did rejoice. She really did light off the camel. But there was a bigger picture of why she had to light off that camel. Do you realize Rebecca chose to go? Oh, that's the other part of that story. Her parents didn't make her go. Rebecca chose to go. Oh, this little bride wants to go meet God. This little bride wants to serve God. But, you know, I could go on a lot of Old Testament. Malachi 4, who the prophet is, what the role of the prophet was. We understand these things fully because of this book of Revelations being open to you and me. Now, the time is at hand, is my thought. And what made it be the time at hand? Let's talk about that a little bit. You know, simply put, it wouldn't be time until God was done fulfilling all the word up to the point that it could be time. You say, what does that mean? The first church age had to happen and everything he prophesied about it. You know, even Paul said, there has to come a falling away first and the man of sin has to be revealed. We've learned that there's been four death angels. We know that God ended up just holding back the word. Then there's four life angels. But all that process, Brother Deskins, had to be complete before time would be at hand. Another way to say the same thing, God was not going to show this thing any sooner than he had built that body, the bride of Jesus Christ. Because that was his masterpiece. And Brother Branham said he didn't want the devil to know anything about it. So he couldn't get in and try to mess it up. He kept it hid. The time was not at hand when Columbo was on the scene because Luther hadn't showed up yet and justification had to come on the scene. And God wasn't going to tell you the whole story in Columbus Day because if he told you who Luther was in Columbus Day, the devil could get in there and try to murder Luther. So he's like, I got to hide this thing. I got to keep this thing sealed. I got to keep this thing back from people. And so that's why God, it wasn't time yet. And we know he wanted a seven church age body. Oh, that gets me excited. He didn't come any sooner. You know why that gets me excited? Not just saying seven church ages. He couldn't come any sooner than you and I. It was going to be part of the body. We didn't get left out. He didn't come in the third church age and the fourth church age. He had to let all seven ages show up. He had to let us be identified that seven age. He didn't come and leave us out. We're part of the bride just like Paul's part of the bride. That's why Brother Branham said, if Paul's people made it, my people will make it. Because I preach what Paul preached. Thank God he stood there on that mercy seat for all seven ages and didn't come any sooner. If he'd come before the seventh age, we wouldn't have a chance. Wouldn't be complete. But he knew every name that'd be in the book. And he knew it had to be built and built exactly so. And then when he finally had it built and the job was done, he then could say, the time is at hand. Let me read you a little quote here. And we'll get through this. I like this quote. It's when souls in prison. The Ram says, the Lamb came forth. Now, I'm going to read Revelation 5 and 10 here in a little bit. But remember, the Lamb was the one worthy. And he came forth, and he was the one worthy to open the book. Walked up to him that had the book in his right hand, received the book, climbed on the throne, sat down. That's it. It was over when the seals was revealed. When the last one, that was everything that he had redeemed, there was nothing he come to redeem. Now, listen to this question, Brother Ram says. Why didn't he redeem them 40 years ago? 2,000 years ago. See, their names are in the book of life in that book. And he had to stand here. Because it was God's purpose to redeem them. Their names were put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. The Lamb was put there with it to be slain. Here come the Lamb, and when he was slain, come back to make intercessions. Watch him. He said there'll be a lot of impersonation. The church was predestinated to be without spot and wrinkle. She's going to be there. The Lamb died for that purpose. And when the last name on that book was redeemed, the Lamb came forth and took the book. Right, right. I'm the one that did it. Amen. And everything, heaven heard it, hollering, screaming, hallelujah, praises to God. The scream went, why? Their names was in that book to be revealed, and the Lamb had revealed it. The Lamb had redeemed it, but he could not come forth until every name was revealed. And that was taking place around the sixth seal before the seventh. You say, what's that quote trying to tell me? What I just told you. He couldn't come any sooner. No. He had to stay there until all seven church ages showed up.
Amen.
I'll make it personal to you. He had to stay there until you got here. Now, you realize I mean that I was born in 1980. But I was here in the sense I'm identified with that message. He made sure everybody whose name's in that book was going to be here, Brother Warren, before he could leave that throne, leave that intercessory seat, and come down here with an open book to claim that which he's redeemed. Do you realize redemption was going on during the seven church ages? Redemption, that's why the first coming was in those seven church ages. You didn't get to the second coming until you got to the end of it. Because he was sitting there doing redemption of all seven ages until every name had been revealed. The times at hand couldn't happen any sooner than that body was built. But when it's built, now you can come down and say, I want to show you something. So let's talk about that a little bit. Let's go to Revelation, the fifth chapter, for a minute. We've been through some of these things before, but it tastes good to me every time I talk about it. It gets sweeter. See, that's the one thing I was thinking this week. This book of Revelations, it means a lot to me. Yes. Now, I'm not talking about as a human, I'm keeping this book. But this, I've eaten the Word, and I believe the Word, and I love the Word, and I don't want to play with this book. Right. I was thinking, I don't try to add to it, Brother Moore. I'm not trying to take away from it. It was perfectly written. It gets me excited because I can see myself in there. Right. That's what Brother Branham said. When John saw his name in the book, everything hurt him.
Right.
Be excited.
Amen.
I'm not trying to misplace this book, misquote this book. I love this book. I like it just the way it is. It means everything to me. I don't get tired of Revelations 10. I don't get tired of Revelations 1. I don't get tired of Revelations 5. You might get tired. I don't get tired. It talks about me, how he's redeemed me, how he's coming back for me, and is letting me know who I am, that I'm part of redemption's story. That I'm one of the ones that was in his name before the foundation of the world. That he already saw the Lamb slain for. I get to see myself in this thing. I like it just as it is. And when you understand it, it runs. Now the time is at hand. Revelation the fifth chapter, verse 1. I saw on the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. What John's depicting here is this book is sealed. It's closed. You can't look into it. That would be when time's not at hand. You couldn't see what was in it. You couldn't read it and understand it and keep it and understand the words of this prophecy. It was closed to people. And John said, no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much. John was sad. He's kind of like we are tonight. We know this is the book of Revelation. It's Revelation of Jesus Christ. We want to know what he says.
Amen.
We want to know what he's trying to write.
Amen.
And if it's close to us and you don't understand it, that should make you sad.
Amen.
I want to hear from Jesus. I want to know what Jesus is trying to say.
Amen.
John was weeping much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book. Notice verse 1. Chapter 1 to read and understand. Neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And you could keep reading this, but in the long story, the one that was worthy was Jesus Christ himself. the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Amen. The one that actually come here and manifested that. And human flesh. He was worthy to open the book. I always like to say it. Jesus himself said, John the Baptist, no man was greater than shoe leather. But John the Baptist was not worthy to open the book. William Branham, as good as he was, and he was better man than I was not worthy to open the book. But Jesus Christ was worthy to open the book. He prevailed. He's the one that sat there for us, all seven ages, and made up the differences, Brother Moore said. You might have had 25%, he got the remaining 75. You might have had 50, he's got the remaining 50. But he paid the price. Jesus paid it all. And he was worthy to open the book. And actually, this story is so great because he's like, I'm going to protect it. We're not even going to show it. I'm just going to do the work, be in the midst, send my spirit, give them the spirit they need to get through the ages, give them the revelation they need for that age, and nobody know the difference. They won't know Luther's a messenger. They won't know Columbus a messenger. They won't know Wesley's a messenger. And I'm going to sit there all seven ages because I'm the one that paid the price for it. And I'm going to hide this thing, and I'm going to make up the difference. I'm going to be on the mercy seat, and I got all seven ages covered. Oh, that's who we, our husband is. He paid it all. Jesus paid it all, and he was worthy to open the book. That's what his first coming was all about, to come and redeem. First coming was to come to redeem his bride. Oh, and he did a good job at that. Oh, that gets me excited. Book was closed. You say, why are you reading that? I'm just trying to tie it. When the time's not at hand, the book's closed. You can't read and hear and keep when the book's closed. You can probe. You can guess. And they did. I was even thinking this week a little bit about the people that wrote some and tried to probe. You know, a lot of those authors were up in here. They could look at a lot of history and face a man, knowledgeable, study history, put some things together. But you won't find too many authors back here because they didn't know how to look forward. It was hidden. And the only reason why people up here could even probe a little bit, they just had some history to go along with some word in here, and they guessed at some things. But whether they even with the history, they didn't get it all right. They didn't have the full inspiration of it. God had a hit from them. The time was not at hand. He hadn't built his body yet. He hadn't sat there for seven ages yet. Joseph Smith was too soon. Larkin was too soon. All those names, whoever they are, they were too soon. It was not time yet, but there was coming a time where God says the body's built now. All seven ages' names have been revealed. We know the bride's been here now. Let me show you my masterpiece. But when the book's closed, the time's not at hand. But now let's go over to our core chapter that we love. The one that means so much to us. Maybe this is the first time you'll hear it the way I hear it. I want this to be real to you. You can't overemphasize the importance of revelation, a clear understanding of this word. And it's not, I don't mean information and education and let you go home and just read your Bible and try to study. You're not going to get this by casual study. This takes God himself to reveal this to you, the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit was given for. But I'm here to tell you, if this gets revealed to you, it will excite you. It'll inspire you. It will enthuse you. You say, why? Because we said it before. This contains the rapture. We didn't even know how to get out of here until this book was open. This contains the Son of Man. This contains what the token is in it. These things that you're beneficiaries of, claiming your loved ones, knowing you got a theophany coming, knowing that you got a glorified body coming, knowing that you got a future home coming, knowing that you're born again, knowing that you can claim your loved ones and anything you love will be there. I could go on and on and on. You only understand that because this book's open. At one point in time, it was closed. And that's why John would say, blessed when they can actually read and understand it. Time's at hand. We're blessed this evening, people. We've said it many times in here. Luther did his job. He got born again just like you and I did. He had the help of God just like you and I did. He had God's own life like you and I did. He just didn't have the understanding like you and I did. If he lived long enough, he'd be right here. But he didn't know the whole story. He didn't see the whole bride. He didn't realize he was justified. He didn't realize he had a change of the soul. He was 99% like a Catholic. All he had was a just shall live by faith. Did exactly what he was supposed to. He didn't have the peace you and I have. He didn't know he could take his loved ones. He was not even sure he was going. The book was closed. The time was not at hand. Now you realize the whole bride has this understanding now, even the ones that went on. But you realize when Luther was here, the book had not been open. When Wesley was here, the book had not been open. The time was not at hand. We are blessed people to live in this golden age. There's a reason why it's the golden age. It's because the full word of God is opened up to us. We have a full word understanding. We see ourselves right up there. We see our names clearly. I'm part of the bride of Jesus Christ. I'm Mrs. Jesus Christ. I wouldn't have been able to talk like I opened this service. It wasn't for the opening of this word, Brother Moore. Let us know who we are. Talking about that kind of way. That's God Himself coming down with the open book. You know, I got to get there. Stay on time. Till this book was open, the seals were open, and these mysteries come down, we wouldn't have been able to extend grace to marriage and divorce like we did. Brother Bram grabbed it, carried it. He said, in a few days we'll understand the truth of marriage and divorce. Because open these seals. We have grace for grace because the opening of these seals. We're full of grace and truth because of the opening of this word. We know how to judge because of the opening of this word. We know how to judge ourselves because of the opening of this word. We know who the devil is clearly because of the opening of this word. We know all of his tricks because of the opening of this word. We can overcome all the devil and everything he brings at us because of the opening of this word. We have everything we need in this hour. Now, the hour they lived in, God gave them what they needed to do the same thing. But I'm just telling you, they didn't understand what we understand today. We're a blessed group of people. Amen. Revelation, the 10th chapter, verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was up on his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillar of fire. Or pillars of fire, yeah. That's Jesus. That's Christ. You know, you can read, I think it's chapter 1. It talks about that rainbow over his head, clothed with cloud. Same one. That's Christ. You know who that is? That's the one that's worthy to open the book. That's the covenant angel. That's the one that could step forward and say, hey, I got the book. I'm the worthy one. John said no other man could open it. You realize even before Brother Bram could look into there and get it showed to him that Christ had to be the one to come forward first. Christ is those seals, Brother Bram said. He is the one to open those seals. He is those seals. What's the seals then? Revealing Christ, Brother Bram said. But that angel there was Jesus Christ himself, the mighty angel. Rainbow on top of his head. He was the judge coming down. Hey, I've hid this thing for 2,000 years. It's formed now. Bride's standing on her feet. I've come down to claim that which I have redeemed. You get ahead of yourself because listen to verse 2. And he had in his hand a little book open. Oh, the time's at hand now. Oh, that gets me excited. Oh, the time's at hand. He was the only one that could open and loose the seals thereof. The only one. It was closed in Revelation 5th chapter. And when John wrote it, he said, blessed are they that can keep and understand it because the time's at hand. He knew the time wasn't at hand then. He knew it was sealed up then. So I'm trying to transition you from a closed book to an open book. Yeah. We are the people to see an open book. And his hand a little book open. He set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. This is the coming of the Lord. That's right. The seventh seal. Silence in heaven. Amen. God wasn't in heaven anymore. No. You realize that I'm getting ready to show you there's noise on earth. Oh, these are little things, but they stick out to you. They make me excited. This thing runs, people. The world wouldn't give you a ticket for your token. They wouldn't care. They think you're crazy. But this word's been open to me. I hear, I read, I understand, Brother Moore. I actually can read verse 2 and say, that little book in chapter 10 is the one that was closed in chapter 5. That angel in Revelation 1 was the lamb that was slain that was worthy to open the book. He's the one that can... worthy to open it, so of course he's the one that's got the open book in his hand coming down. That only makes sense. And the rest of the world, see, I'm reading, I'm hearing, I understand, I'm keeping. It gets me excited. rest of the world. What you, that doesn't, they'll tell you, that doesn't say Christ there. Where does it say Jesus Christ? That doesn't excite them. But those that want to keep these words and preserve these words and be careful with these words, it gets us turned on.
Amen.
This is the bride's arrival.
Yes,
this is the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
Silence in heaven?
Yes.
Well, who lives in heaven? God.
Amen.
If there's silence in heaven and noise on earth, who's on earth? God.
Yes.
You know, when you read other verses in this book of Revelations and it talks about God being on the throne or Christ being on the throne, Brother Branham said in his books, we've said it here, you always read scriptures close after him. Angels and elders and cherubims around the throne, worshiping, praising, hearing, everybody would hear him singing praises to God. That was in heaven. All of a sudden in Revelation 8, chapter verse 1, it says there's silence in heaven. All that noise in heaven stopped. Why? Because God came down and put his foot on land and sea. Well, Jeremiah, I didn't ever see some big great God physically put his feet on land and sea. Carnal. Book don't mean nothing to them. See, it's been a symbol to you, but it's been revealed to me.
Amen.
That same God has come down and wrapped himself in human flesh again. He's living on earth and on land where the sea is. He's down here, people.
Amen.
It's the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. Oh, that's what I read over there. You can read in verse 5. He changed from a lamb to a lion.
Yes,
and when he started speaking, he went from a slain lamb to a lion. Guess who's? That's the same one that had that book that was worthy. Coming down, open it. So now listen to me.
Amen.
And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now, I ain't got time to talk about that. I'm just going to say this real quick and move on. The Bible clearly lets you know that thunder is the voice of God. John, I think the 10th chapter, when they heard, some heard a thunder, some heard the voice of God. You could go other places in this book, the thunder is the voice of God. That was the voice of God speaking, crying out. That voice is what told you what was hidden and revealed to you what's been sealed up, what was behind those seals. It was God's own voice coming down. And when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Now that was just put in there to let you know, Revelation 5, the book was closed for a period of time. When John was first shown this in the Isle of Patmos, it wasn't time. Time wasn't at hand. Got to seal it up, John. But when the time's at hand, those same voices, those symbols that look like voices and sealed up, they're revelations to you and me. It's the word of God to you and I. Oh, that gets me excited.
Amen.
Seal those things up. And I like to be able to say this. See, what was written clearly, they could probe at.
Oh, yeah, right.
And they could say a lot of things and get a lot of things good and right. But what was tricky about this, they couldn't get this. This was not written. That's why no matter how much they write about the seven churches or how much they try to say about it, it ain't 100% right. Because there's something that God uttered that got sealed up.
Amen.
It's not written at all,
nope.
Brother Branham said.
Amen.
Oh, but to us, in the day and the hour that we live in, and the time is at hand, we recognize Christ has come down himself. The Lord himself's come down, and he's talking to us.
Amen.
And it's no longer sealed up.
Nope.
It's an open book, and he's revealing to us what he's been doing all these times and what he's going to do. He's revealed the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. Everything they left out and didn't have. He's come down and said, let me show you the whole story now. What's written between the lines. What I uttered to John that I told him to seal up. I'm here now. The time is at hand. And I'm coming down to show you what's going on. That's why this book's so important. It shows you it was sealed up. Then it shows you it was unsealed. And when it's unsealed, you can see the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. I want to get to a few more things here. Angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lift up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, and that there should be time no longer. Time is at hand. Time no longer when you start to understand this. When this gets preached, times at hand. Happened in 1963, people. Amen. Now listen to verse 7. Because I want to make sure you understand everything going on here. Here comes Christ with the open book. Right. Telling us what this thing is. What does God's word say? I do nothing until I reveal it to my servants, the prophets, first. Right. Oh, I loved your answer Sunday night, Brother Moore. How should we read the book of Revelations? Understand the prophet's message. Because he's the one that preached it. Because he's the first one that Christ gave it to. That's what verse 7 is about. Let's read it and then we'll talk about it. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Brother Bram said the earthly seventh angel will be on earth at the time of this coming. And here come Christ, the heavenly angel, down to Brother Branham, the earthly angel, and he showed the prophet what's been hid. Says, you go back to Jeffersonville and preach this thing. And from that point on, the rest of Brother Branham's message was the third pool, the hidden mysteries. This telling us how this book of Revelations worked. Told us about the Revelation chapter 21, new heaven, new earth, future home of the heavenly bridegroom. Told us about Revelation 19, how the bride made herself ready. Told us about white throne judgments and told us about the seven church ages. He said the first thing it revealed was the seven church ages. Told us about Revelations 1 through 3. Told us how the fourth chapter we went up in a rapture. You don't really hear about the bride again until the 19th chapter. Now that's been a curveball to people. They want to think every chapter from 4 to 19 is not even had nothing to do with us. You got to know how to read this book. You got to know what he's trying to say. Blessed are they that can read and hear and keep. Oh, you can't walk this way in high heel shoes. You got to get those flat heels, walk this straight line. Because I'm here to tell you, I believe the bride's in Revelation, the 10th chapter. She's in there. You just got to know what you're talking about. You got to know where to read it. Because, you know, really, Revelation 10 happened at the end of Revelation chapter 3. That's when it happened. That's when it took place. Right there at the end of chapter 3. That's why you can't read it like a storybook. It is true that 4 to 19 we were not talked about. Because Revelation 10 happened at the end of chapter 3. And the closed book in Revelation 5 was all seven church ages long. And Revelation chapter 8 verse 1, when that seventh seal came down, was the end of chapter 3. And you don't got to know all this. All I'm trying to tell you, you got to know how to read it right. People get confused and don't know how to get this thing in order, but I know how to keep it in order because I can read it, I've heard it, I can keep it. But it gets me excited because I believe there's a prophet that came on the scene this day, and people think we're crazy, but the book says we need him, says that God won't do anything without him, and in the same chapter that everything was hidden and sealed up, he mentions a prophet again. He said, the mystery will be finished as he declared to the servants the prophets. He showed his prophets, and Brother Bram come down and preached us and taught us how to read the book.
Amen.
That's what he really did. He taught us how to read the book. He taught us how to do the first part. And what have we been doing? We've been hearing, getting a clear understanding, reading, growing, getting a clear understanding. And because we love it, we keep it. It means something to us. It's part of us. It's our everyday life. You know, I don't want you to get confused like Keith that you need to wake up every day and say, how am I going to keep the book of Revelation? Just breathe, and you will manifest the book of Revelation. Automatically with every heartbeat because it will be part of you. All I'm trying to say when I express it that way is we're the ones that love it. We're the ones that mean something to. We're the ones that hear it clear. It's a clear understanding to say, I like that. I want that book. I ain't just putting that book to the side. We preserve it. Because we love this word. And we can see clearly. Because when that prophet come down, it's getting close to me now. Oh, God, I'm getting ready to get that next verse. I had to get 7:1 first. Then 7. It's getting a little closer to me now. Oh, that's why I'm excited. I gotta get one more verse forward. I can't stop at 7. Oh, the prophet, I don't think he ever hardly hit 8 through 11. Because he never did. Because that wasn't really him. He was in 7. But 8 through 11 mean the most to me. Oh, it means everything to me. Because that's me. That's you. So let's go read it. 7 gets me a little excited. Because I recognize that's who I got my word from. One gets me excited. Of course, I know it's Christ. The whole book gets me excited. But when you can really see yourself in the scripture you're fulfilling. That's why Brother Branham, you know what he said when he got caught up in that cloud? He said, that seventh angel meant the most to me. Wasn't that he didn't like the first angel, second angel, third angel? That seventh angel was notable. Why? That was his angel. I like verse 1. I like verse 2. I like verse 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. I have nothing against them. They're all good. But 8 through 11, I noticed a little bit more. It means something to me. Let me tell you why. A little bit more notable to me. I ain't doing away with 1 through 7. Brother Bram didn't do away with the first six angels. He just being honest. Hey, that seventh one, it meant something to me. That's mine. Now here comes John. Now we all know John is part of the bride, right? He's a member of the bride. So what that means is he represents the bride. That means he represents us. So let's see what John says. And the voice which Jeremiah heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth on the sea and upon the earth. And I put myself into John the bride. Went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. I want the book. God didn't force feed it to me. I want it. Give it to me. And he said to me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I, the bride, us, put your name there, took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it in my belly, it was bitter. This thing is sweet. It'll cost you. We could preach a message on that. Cost you everything. And he said unto me, thou. You know what thou is? You. Personal. Right down to you. Put your name in there.
Yes.
Jeremiah, Nate, Don Deskins. And we know we have a heavenly name, but I'm just trying to make it personal to you. Elise, Clarice, Dwayne, Johanna, Ted, Ramona, Skyler. Put your name in. Warren, Jeremiah. Say mine a few times. It means more to me than it should mean to you. More notable to me. Thou must prophesy again. Oh, I love how this thing runs. I ain't bringing anything new. I'm prophesying what the prophet does. You know what that means? I've been keeping what he brought. I haven't tried to find something new. I haven't tried to change it. I haven't tried to get a new revelation. I've just been prophesying what's already been prophesied. Has it got brighter? Sure. Is it clearer? Sure. But it's the same revelation that the angel had when he came down in verse 1 that he gave to the prophet that I ate. And I've been keeping it ever since. Prophesying again before peoples and nations and tongues and kings. That's the bride of Jesus Christ in action.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Everyday living.
That's right.
That's why I tell you time's at hand. Do you realize with every heartbeat, every day you wake up,
amen,
you that have eaten this book, it's
amen
part of you.
Amen.
You're keeping it every day.
Every day.
You're the ones that's reading it,
yeah,
hearing it, and keeping it.
Amen.
And you got to do all three.
Amen. That's right.
But he came down himself and opened it up. Showed it to the prophet, prophet showed it to us. And now we have it. And there's not enough time to talk to you about that. But the point I'm trying to make, time's at hand. Couldn't come any sooner than all seven ages was built. Couldn't come sooner than we were going to get here. He wanted a complete bride of Jesus Christ. And I am going to close in one quote here in a minute. Brother Branham said that when he, this in the Feast of Trumpets, he always made a comment. This is one of Brother Cho's favorite quotes. I've heard Brother Moore use it. He said, that seven seals open. He said, that was the most inspired thing. Did the Bible become a new Bible? He said it revealed the complete revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Do you realize without those seven seals being open, we wouldn't have had the complete revelation of Jesus Christ? That he didn't just want to be groom. He wanted to have a wife that was going to be Mrs. Jesus Christ. And they were going to go back to the Garden of Eden condition with him. Oh, that's what this open book has done to us. It showed us we're part of it. Right there, part of God and wanting to be the wife of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And Brother Branham said, Jesus is the entire theme of this Bible. But let me read what he also said. I think this will get you excited. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Christ and you makes him the center of life of the revelation, see? Now listen to these next couple of lines. See, Christ's life in you makes him the center of revelation. Now he's getting to my point I want to get to. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible the complete revelation of Christ. And you know, we all sit here and think of Jesus, the man over there. Of course, he was a part of it. I'm not saying he wasn't. But we'll stop right there. But listen to his next line. The first line makes the Bible clear revelation. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. See what God is trying to do? And then Brother Moore's favorite quote, what is the new birth then? You say, well, Brother Brand, what's the new birth? The revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you.
Amen.
He was trying to say, Christ is the entire thing in the Bible. But you realize he didn't want to just be groom and dwell alone. He wanted a bride. And how you become members of the bride is you're born again. And you get a personal revelation. And when you get this revelation, guess what? That's Christ in you.
Amen.
And that means you can read that Bible and see you in every verse. Because you're the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, that's why this book's so important.
Amen.
Why it needed to be open.
Amen.
Why it's blessed are they that can read and understand. The time is at hand.
Amen.
Why? He wanted a bride. And he couldn't come and open a book any sooner than that bride was completed. All the steps that happened, all the process that happened, all the scriptures were fulfilled. When it was, that's why Brother Branham could say, I don't see anything left.
Right.
Any scripture broken.
Right.
Except the rapture of the bride.
Right.
Oh, the time's at hand, people.
Yes, it is.
Oh, you can find so many quotes. Brother Branham said, the sign's all around us. The end time's here.
Oh, yeah.
Get with it. You're going to be left. Time's at hand. Well, don't worry, little bride. You're not going to be left behind.
Amen.
You read, you hear, you understand, you keep. You're on the ones that had your name in the book. You're Mrs. Jesus Christ. Thank God we see what we see. Thank God we understand what we understand. Thank God for fulfilling and redeeming. But when he's done, thank God he come down to claim. And we're going with him. Going to meet him in the air. He's come. He's coming. Going to go to the wedding supper. Going to have 3.5 years. On and on and on we could go. But it's all we only understand that because this book's been opened.
Amen.
It's been preached and revealed to us by Christ. Thank God for a clear word to understand. Thank God for understanding the book of Revelation.
Amen.
God bless you. Come on, Pastor.
Amen. God bless you.
Wow.
Amen. You should have gave it back to me about an hour ago. You're preaching right where I live. I mean, it's like the book of Revelations. I never get tired. I've listened to this chapter 10 for 40-something years. And I get so stirred up when I hear it read like I never heard it read before. And it's beautiful because that's our book. It really is. I mean, you can talk about a lot of other people, and it's nice, and it'll do you a while, but... You know, when you start talking about yourself, you can go for hours. And God's, I always says, God's he's a little conceited. He likes to talk about himself. And he likes to hear himself talk about himself. And he likes to agree with himself when he talks about himself. So when you get over in Revelation, I agree, Jeremiah. Verse 1, that angel coming down, thank God we had to have it. Couldn't have made it without it. And verse 7, great. Glad we had a prophet, because had we not had a prophet, we couldn't even understood Revelation 10 and 1. But when you get to verse 8, and it's got something to do with me, and I had to take the book. And the Bible is so perfect that way. It is so perfect. He didn't just force me to take it. He didn't force feed me. I had to want it. And when I heard this open book, I wanted it. I wanted it more than anything else in the world. To me, that was a pearl of great price. And I sold everything to get it. I let everything go. My apostolic denomination, I put it aside. I put my family on the back burner. I put my career on the back burner. I put everything... Because this was the most important thing that was happening in my life.
Amen.
And it means more than anything else.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
And I never get tired
right.
of looking at or talking about or saying the time is at hand.
Yes.
Because every time I say the time is at hand, something's up. Do you realize every time we fulfill scripture, the time is at hand?
That's right. Yes.
And when that body change happened, the time will be at hand.
That's right. Amen.
And Brother Branham said that he will not falter, or he won't let it slip, or it's not. He said God's great time clock is right on time. And it will do exactly what it's ordained to do. And nothing can stop it. Nothing's going to stop it. Nothing's going to slow it down. Nothing's going to slow it. You know, people used to say when I come to the message, they used to say, you know, if y'all don't get right, y'all going to hold up the rapture. You know what? God even had your footsteps so calculated that he, when you're dragging your feet, he calculated that in. When you debated on whether you wanted to take the whole book, he calculated that in. When it took you 10 years to die to your thinking, he calculated that in. When Moses got out there and God had to deliver them 400 years to the day, he included the 40 years that he was going to have to deal with Moses. He's got this thing so calculated and so worked out that we are right on time, church. We are right where we're supposed to be. The bride is on her feet. She knows what it is. And when it's time for the change, the time will be at hand just because it's God's time. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy, I'll carry on. Because I know it's his time. You say, I don't have a lot of revelation. That's in his hands. He's the only giver of revelations. Maybe you don't need a lot. That's on him too. See, he's got it all calculated out. So don't worry about it. He promised Israel 7 years. He got them 3.5. And Jesus got cut off in the midst of the week. And you think, well, he messed up there. Miscalculated. That ain't going to happen now. No, God's got it. He's got another 3.5. He's got another 3.5 in his pocket. And he knows exactly when the time's going to be at hand for that other 3.5. He will not falter, nor will he drop anything. It's going to be exactly like he said it's going to be. Nobody can slow it down. Nobody can stop it. And the devil has nothing to do with stopping it. We're not still here because the devil's made the world so bad.
No, no.
We're here because the corn of wheat had to go into the ground. That's the reason we're still here. And now that it's come out, he will not abide alone. He's got a many-membered body, 2,000-year-old bride body that he's been working on undercover for 2,000 years. And now that he's ripped the cover off, he's ripped the seals off, he's opened the book, he sent it down, he gave it to the bride, he gave it to the prophet, he gave it to the bride. Do you realize how close to the end we are? After verse 11 in chapter 10, he changes what he's doing. Now see, Jeremiah said, and I like this, you got to take, we were asking about how to read the book of Revelation. You got to take chapter 10 and slide it in behind chapter 3. Yeah. But the next chapter, the first verse, is the rapture. It's too perfect. So if you take chapter 10 and put it behind chapter 3 where it belongs, and you read all the way through chapter 10 and you get down to verse 11, and the bride's doing her job, she's prophesying again, and after she finishes prophesying, what happens? Chapter 4, verse 1, John, come up here. Brother Branham said, that's the rapture. That's the bride's rapture. That's hot off the press, folks, by the way. He's still revealing. He's taking that book and he's making that. You say, we've been going through, we've been combing through the book of Revelation for years and years and years. But hey, you know what? That was brand new.
Yes. Amen.
He's sliding that book where it belongs. Did somebody ask that question Sunday night? How do we read?
Right.
And there's your answer. That is, there's slide 10 in there, and then put it between 3 and 4, and you got the order of the bride. Next thing after our prophecy is the rapture. That's why Brother Brown said, I don't see anything, any scripture, keeping us from going in that rapture. And that's why I say, take everything off of your plate except for the rapture. Because the time... I almost hate to even say it, Jeremiah, because the time is at hand. That's the hour this bride is living in.
Yeah.
We're at the end of the end.
Oh,
it's almost over. We don't have time to go back and try to get all these things together. We don't have time. Brother Branham said when he preached in a marriage and divorce, we don't have time to go back and get these homes straightened out. We don't have time. If he didn't have it in 1965 and 2023, we don't hardly have time to get anything done. Just get right with Christ. Get ready, because the bride is on her feet. She knows what it is. She knows the hour she's living in. We know what hour it is. Jesus said you can look at the sky and tell what time it is, and discern the sky, and you can tell what time it is, but you can't discern the hour that you're living in. This bride can discern the hour that we're living in.
Amen.
The time is at hand. I enjoyed that, Brother Jeremiah. God never fails to feed us. I like that. Amen. Come on, musicians. I felt like preaching, but I'm going to go home. I got Sunday. Oh, I do have some announcements, too. Clarice and I will be flying out the 19th. We're going down to the earliest. I've been wanting to get down to Florida. So we're going to be down there. We're going down on the 19th, and then I'm going to meet, and listen to this, I'm going to meet up with Brother Tony in Florida, because there's a brother who has a church near where the Earlys are, and I want to go to the church and meet the brother and take the Earlys. And you need to be in a church. And it's not even about listening to the service to me online. I don't mind you listening to me online. But the Bible said, forsake not to assemble yourselves together.
Right.
So listen to me online if you want. But still, somewhere, sometime, somehow, you don't have, I'm not even saying go every week. I'm just saying, it's just healthy.
Right.
And she's probably listening to me right now. She's probably like, that Brother Nate's the... That Sister Baker said, he done gone to meddling. But I want her in the house of God. I wanted to enjoy what you all enjoy, to be able to rub elbows, to get in an atmosphere, to, and you could tune me in. Our services are online, but so we're going to go down there and we're going to visit this church, and I pray it works out well. You pray too, because I want them in a home. I want them in a home church and get involved locally. And she's like, man, you put my business all over the internet. I got to let my church know what I'm doing. So I'm going to spend some time with Brother Tony down there, and the Earlys down there, and Clarice is going to be my cohort travel partner. So we'll be gone that week of the 19th, and then in July, I've got vacation coming up. I'm going to do that, but on my way home from vacation, I'm going to go through Atlanta where my family is. Well, Fred Mullins is only 6 hours away. So, on the week, let's see, 17, 18, 19, on the 19th of July, and y'all could put it on the board or whatever y'all do with it, the 19th I'll be probably ministering for Fred in South Carolina on that Wednesday night. And then I'll be back home the weekend. So, you pray for us. We're getting out. So, you know, we have people coming in. We have people going out. And so that's what we're supposed to do. I told y'all when I got retired, I said, I'm not retiring for nothing. I'm going to be moving, doing some things. And I don't want to just sit around and do nothing. If I'm not going to be out there working for the man, I want to be working for the man. So you pray for these trips coming up and see what God will do. Amen. It's good to have Brother Parnell back there today. Got to see him. It's good to see him. Well, I guess I got it Sunday then. Pray for Jay. He's still taking tests and things, and keep him in your prayers, and keep the body in your prayers. We've got so much to eat here. We are spiritually fat. I mean, we get on Wednesday night, which is midweek service, we get such a meal.
We too.
And then you come back and get more and get more. And thank God. I'm glad it's that way. Food in a storehouse. We'll sing that and we're going to get out of here. Remember those things. Remember the body. Just keep us in your prayers. I told y'all at the beginning of the year, you know, Satan's going to be trying to hit. So he's trying to hit. He's putting sickness on and this one and that one. But that's okay. Because God's got it calculated as well. Yes. I suppose you can. Yes, we can get that. We've got these down here. Two. Amen. We'll give you two. I got an extra in here if anybody needs a prayer. Huh? Okay, that's fine. I don't want to put it back. I never know, but I always like to be sensitive to see what God wants to do. Amen. And we want to remember these requests, and I always like to have the one who asked for it pray with us, because their faith is just going to the same place mine comes from. It ain't about me. It's your faith that you're taking it to the people. Yes. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening so thankful for your word, showing us that, Lord, we have the authority that's been given to the bride of Jesus Christ to put Satan in his place. And, Lord, you by your stripes already paid the price for the healing, whatever the needs are here, Lord. I don't need to know. Lord, you know. And I ask you to just move in these requests, move in this cloth, that, Lord, it won't be the cloth, but it'll be the faith that carries it to the person, the patient that needs it. And Father, we ask you to bring complete healing so they can come back with a testimony to let the body know that one more time you have touched and delivered. Thank you for everything. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Come back Sunday, 10 a.m. And we'll see you then. Good to see Brother Bean. Amen. There's food in a storehouse. If you want it, it's here. Amen.
In this day, men are in dark. From the true word, many shall part, refusing to heed the word of God. For this ordained, a word for the bride, Jesus has sent out of his mouth, the word of God went, spoken to prophet for this our day. Oh, there's food in the storehouse. Yes, there's food in the storehouse. Oh, there's plenty of food in the storehouse of God's word. Oh, no shortage of meat. Come, let us feast, my sister and brother. the storehouse.